which is the longest of all of them because of his responsibility as an authority over the situation. And because of his actions of listening to his wife, Eve, in disobedience to God's command otherwise, what is cursed in association with him is the ground, the soil, by which he is to derive his living grace, obviously, in a great part, in regards to his life. And there is a direct parallel between the cursing of the ground and the tree itself, as it provides the nutrient support for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, is curse, and the fact that the man is made out of the ground, out of sophisticated dust, as it's called in the scripture, denoting that both aspects makes the ground cursing apropos, if you will, in regards to the judgment upon it. Furthermore, there is a direct parallel between the serpent's curse of being confined to crawling on the ground and Adam, who is now spiritually dead. And that is that it is because of the serpent, Satan, and is spiritually dead that cursing is now a part of the regimen of judgment in regards to creation. So the cursing on the soil means that a life otherwise that was intended by God for the man to be a life of blessing, enjoyment, if you will, things that he did would be more of a hobby rather than an aspect of something that he would have to commit himself completely and totally to, now comes to about of being something that's going to be hard work, much labor, sweat and blood, if you will, in order to simply keep himself and sustain himself from dying, which physically, obviously, is part of the direct curse upon him for his act of disobedience. So, 21, the earth has to now be worked, cleared, tilled, cultivated, and watered. Point 22, page 35 of our notes. Adam the gardener must now take up the occupation of farmer. While we may not necessarily differentiate between the two, there is a difference. Even the simple layman will often garden. Farming is a profession, an endeavor necessary to provide, put food on the table for the family and families. And it goes from being something that was, if you will, enjoyable, which gardening often is often looked at in that view. People do it for enjoyment, for relaxation often, as a hobby. Now he must, if you will, spend full time in regards to working the ground to put and provide sustenance and put food on the table for his family. So his occupation must change. 23, he has no choice if he wants to support himself and his family. No longer does he have, if you will, access to all the trees in the garden. He will not shortly. To simply go out and pull food down if one's hungry, etc., for his living grace. 24, from now on, this means arduous labor, not the kind of fun stuff associated with keeping the garden. 25, toil is the same noun used with childbearing in verse 16. I will greatly multiply your pain, itzabon, in childbirth. 26, while arguably the woman may take issue with any implications of parallel pains between giving birth and manual labor, the difference is that man must toil all the days of his life. while there is much pain associated with childbirth, generally speaking, apart from pharmaceuticals, the aspect of toil and hard work for the man is a lifelong endeavor. It's only temporary until the child is born. Otherwise, for the woman. So 27, Adam went out from the garden and had to learn new skills by trial and error. Obviously, he has a full bank of information in his brain computer that God provided, of knowledge, etc. But still, in regards to now taking on a different environment that he's going to be a part of, things are not simply handed to him, if you will, on a platter. He's going to have to work for it. He's going to have to experiment and things of this nature in order to be successful in regards to his endeavors. And this often comes by trial and error. Try something that doesn't work, try something different. So 28, the production of food for survival consumed much of his time and energy. While farming may have somewhat of a romantic appeal to some, it's not an easy profession by the stretch of imagination. Coming out of a background of my own family, being Kansas dirt farmers, I can tell you that for a fact. They're up before the chickens get up, and they're usually still out and working when it's dark. Only when they can't see anymore do they come in and finish the day. Two meals a day, basically. Breakfast, and that means exactly what it says, to break the fast of sleeping. And that's after a couple of hours, usually, of going out and working up an appetite. Grandma's in there fixing food for 10, 11 kids and the old man, Grandpa. Breakfast is a whole different meaning. When you went to my grandparents' house, it's like being in a cafeteria full of high schoolers as everybody's grabbing for all the food. Eggs piled. I remember this, eggs piled on plates that you go, you can't have that many dozen eggs at a table. You know. So, but it is often, it is always associated with constant work, even to prepare the meal, out getting eggs from the chickens, etc., etc. So, I know and seen in regards to others, the hard work that's that is generally involved in regard to farming. The soil in Kansas is not that good. There's a reason why Kansas has a reputation that it does. Plains, wind-driven. I think Oklahoma's Tornado Alley, so is Kansas in that regards. Irrigation, if you can get a pond to keep water, you're doing well. See, a lot of sand. Hutchinson, Kansas, around the area that they lived in, the Arkansas River goes through there. I'll give you a little geography lesson. And it's all sand in the town and outside the town. There's actually almost sand dunes. And this shows you where the river, how big that river used to be. So, and that's the kind of soil that they tried to eke a living out on. And generally, it was not enough, you know, some 40 acres or whatever that they own to do so, as Grandpa would have his auto salvage to go along with it. And his junkyard dogs are real things called junkyard dogs. I've met them. You think you got vicious dogs around in the dog fighting circle, you put in with one of those junkyard dogs, we'll find out how mean they really are. See? So farming is hard work. If you like being outside and facing the potential of skin cancer in your old age, well, there you are. See. So the production for food survival consumes much of Adam's time and energy. As 29, His life is devoted to providing sustenance for himself and family. 30, obviously the curse of the ground automatically extends to humanity. We now deal with that type of environmental soil that we have to work. 31, as we know, some soils are unsuitable or marginal. And then there's the issue of moisture. Some areas you can't, it's not even feasible to try to grow stuff on. The natural habitat in regard to certain geographies are generally for a purpose. Like the plains before the Dust Bowl, as the government went in and helped everybody settle and clear all the grass, land grass off there, and we have our big Dust Bowl, see. As not a natural disaster, as a man-made disaster. So, obviously, soils must be right. Oklahoma is known for its clay, red dirt. You get dark dirt in an area, then you've got good soil. The red usually means hard pan clay type of soil. Soil here is good, it's just rocky. Then you have to bring in water. And when you bring in water from one place, you're usually taking it from another place. It's amazing how one little river, such as the river going through Colorado, can supply so much water to even other states, and how small the river has become over the years. But that is what it takes. Man recognizes that, and they will go to great extents to get water to certain areas. Recently in the news, of that big lake over in Europe where they drained water off to irrigate land, and this huge, it was the second biggest lake in the world, and it's dry basically now from it, from Russia's involvement in that. But anyway, 32, as breadwinner and family provider, the man faces many difficult challenges. Obviously, not everybody, especially today, is involved in farming. Farming was a more popular profession, a more common profession in the old days, in previous history. Now you have corporate farming, so they can give you all that good food with all the chemicals and everything in it for you. Make sure that no weeds grow inside your belly. So as breadwinner and family provider, the man faces many difficult challenges. 33, all this because he sinned, disobeying God in favor of his wife, eating of the forbidden fruit. That is the decision he made. And these are the repercussions. 34, agricultural hardship is ironic. The very thing that you need to survive, the profession you need to survive, demands sweat and blood, hard work. So 35, the curse of the soil is then compounded with new vegetation as part of the curse. Thorns and thistles, Katswa Deradar. 36, the preposition with the second feminine suffix, for you. Thorns and thistles, it will grow for you. Again, I brought that out in our parsing. You have a feminine suffix with the preposition for you is poetic. And it looks to his soul, the real you, the Nishama, which is feminine, as being, quote, pricked, end quote, with the inner sufferings his new lifestyle will bring. Not only is there physical overt hardship, but there's inner suffering. And to work the ground is a, if you will, discomfort to the soul that made that choice, that put him in that position and condition. See. So it's kind of a poetic jab, thorns and thistles, see, in regards to Adam, in regards to the choice that he made of his wife over God. Some people think that family, God would never put you in a situation to choose between the family and him. Well, that's just people naive and ignorant of doctrine in regards to God's test. And you never know how that test may come down the pike. Who will you choose? What's more important? For the man, is more important to listen to his wife, obey her, than to be obedient to God. And it cost him dearly. It costs all of mankind dearly. Part of the impact that our study of the origins of our planet and our creation and mankind and how we're in the condition we are is designed to really hit home to us in regards to all the doctrines that we learn, have learned otherwise with respect to commitment to God, Bible doctrine, the doctrine of separation, human viewpoint versus divine viewpoint, and all these things. See, because doctrine was not put first, maintained first, in regards to thought and relationship. We get to work our entire life with sweat and toil simply to survive. So 37, a curse falls on the plant kingdom and the plants of the field, which is at Seb HaSadeh. 38, these new briar plants become indigenous to their geography and must be rooted up from farmlands on a regular basis, adding to man's toil. Not enough, you've got to work the ground that can be difficult and stubborn in and of itself, but then you have the plant environment around you, stickers, thorns, and thistles, not anything unfamiliar to us in our geography. All you got to do is walk out in the backwoods here, and you see what I mean. Summertime, you can't walk through there without, if you got an itch, you'll get scratched, I can guarantee you that. So, and that's the way it is. Obviously, it's not the same everywhere. But when things are left to the natural habitat, it's amazing how quick these things appear, reappear. See, that type of plant life and vegetation. So 39, another tweaking of the genetics of the subspecies is seen here, producing all manner of obnoxious plants. Just like we have obnoxious reptiles like the snake. Plants that are literally worthless apart from they would plant them around fields to help keep predators out or let them grow naturally. So 40, only after proper cultivation can the man produce enough food for a stable living. Work, work, and more work. Got to weed. Got to water. Got to turn it under. Got to harvest. 51, farming is difficult, challenging, and time-consuming work that does not always produce results. Then you're dependent upon the weather or other environmental aspects, such as insects, locusts, and things of this nature, plant-eating insects, wildlife invading your food supply. 42, farming is the most basic and necessary occupation if man is to survive on this earth. For our country to, our society to manage to produce corporate farming, undermining the common laborer, farmer, the independent farmer, as they have done, over the past decades. It is simply a boon in regards to new world orders gaining power over man. You take away their food supply, you control their food supply, you control the people. That's a principle that's been recognized for centuries. So that's one of those things that I like to keep on top of my prayer list, for God to protect independent farmers to the degree that we're able still to get a supply of food apart from having government, you know, infiltration and interference and involvement completely and totally. They want to tell you what to eat as well as anything else in your life. Every subsequent occupation depends on the farming success. If you don't have food, then all the gold in the world means nothing. For those farmers, the sweat of your face, quote, in quotes, is a reality readily understood. Go out and work with a professional farmer for one day, and you definitely will have a taste of what it means to work. Bale hay, things of that nature. It's energizing to a certain degree, but you will break a sweat. 45, man's physiology is such that he is designed to sweat. Part of how God made us is to be able to control overheating. Sweat is a ze'ah in the Hebrew. 46, perspiring is a physical thermostat to help maintain the core temperature of the body. Get too warm, too hot, you dehydrate. Your body obviously is made up of much fluid, majority of it. And to sweat, it helps maintain your core temperature to be healthy around the 98 point, whatever it is, 2 or 6 or whatever, not to overheat. And obviously, you sweat. The breeze helps keep you cool. You quit sweating and you're working hard labor, you're in trouble if it's hot. It's what they call heat stroke. And they can be very damaging to your health when one undergoes one. Make you susceptible to other aspects of life later on. To affect your immune system often. Get dizzy easier in certain situations. Etc. So 47, obviously Adam perspired gardening, but it was not a life or death situation. It wasn't imperative. It was unavoidable in regards to what he has to do now. And it meant either his life and survival or not. 48, after all, he could get food supply by picking fruit from the trees. 49, his sweating in the garden was like enjoying a hobby. And now it will come with a much more difficult occupation trying to survive. You will need to endure until rest finally comes when he dies. And his body returns to dust, afar in the Hebrew, from which it was formed, as per chapter 2, verse 7. So here, 51, God makes clear to Adam that the consequences of death in his physical form awaits him. It is part of your future destiny now, Adam. your body will return to dust. So 52, death of the body based on the aging gene came in the world through original sin. To get old, your body to deteriorate, not able to regenerate, if you will, in regards to the cells maintaining a good immune system and good structure, things of this nature, all comes about. It all came about into reality through eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So 53, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil contained that which produced a gene producing aging and eventual death, which is in association with the sin nature. Now, there is obviously chromosomal division between the two. We'll see that when we get to the fact that God's got to kick them out of the garden unless they eat at the tree of life, and they continue to live physically from then on with a sin nature. So, exactly how that works, I can't tell you. But we do know that it is genetic and part of our DNA makeup, and they go, if you will, one's the offspring of the other. But yet you can deal with them individually. You could eradicate either one. We'll see. We saw, as we did the doctrine of eternal life, or the doctrine of the eternal kingdom, of the tree of life and its properties in regards to its leaves, eradicating the sin nature from human bodies. So, the mystery of the body. Men think they'll figure it out. Well, we'll see. 54, physical death came many years later for Adam, while spiritual death was instant. The two deaths in view looks both at spiritual and physical realities. So 55, dying you will die, is explained theologically as spiritual death leading to physical death of the organism. The phrase, as a repercussions of eating of the fruit, dying you will die. Two deaths. So 56, spiritual death is defined as alienation from the life of God, leading to the eternal perdition of the soul if not arrested by regeneration. Death is simply a separation. Spiritual death is a separation of the human spirit from the body, from the soul, its interface with the soul and body. And if that is perpetuated throughout the entirety of one's life under spiritual death, then they will experience an eternal death, an eternal separation from God. The prescription to reverse that is what's known as regeneration, to regenerate a spiritual essence of our person, known as the human spirit. The new birth, as it's also referred to. So 57, physical death takes its toll on believer and unbeliever alike, because we're all born into the world spiritually dead. Because death is the dominant power over us, the possession of the sin nature, hence no matter whether one is a believer or an unbeliever, we all face the consequences of physical death because we come into the world born spiritually dead. 58, in light of Adam's physiological origins and his subsequent sin, verse 19 is itself highly ironic. 59, man is to work the ground to keep from starving until the day he returns to the ground. And he's made from the ground. So 60, the human body is dust. It needs to be nourished by the things the ground produces. And we can't survive without its productive properties to revitalize our own human bodies. So 61, but in the end, the biochemical part of man returns to dust via decay. That's how we know the description of man being created out of dust is true, and that is through the principle of decomposition of the human body. Left long enough, it simply disappears. That's because it's returned back to dust. 62, all this because one man disobeyed God, obeyed his wife, and partook of a piece of fruit. I guess God takes his commands rather seriously. Sixty-three, all subsequent humanity is cursed then by association. Because Adam can produce nothing better than what he is. 64, from birth we as human are, quote, in Adam. End quote. That means Adam's original sin is imputed to his home. The indwelling SCA, which is the flesh or sin nature gene's location, resulting in spiritual death. We are his progeny, and hence we are born in the world in the sphere of his flesh. 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. That death is spiritual death that's in view, which results, obviously, by its very nature, in physical death. So 65, the death gene is passed down through the male in procreation along with the STA, or old sin nature gene. His compatible DNA partner. The male is a transmitter. The female is simply a carrier. But yet, she obviously is also infected, as it demands a male to produce a female. So, as we know, 66, Jesus' humanity, the seed of the woman, did not possess a sin nature because Mary's ovum did not contain this gene. And this is true for all women. During their cycle, they produce one perfect ovum, which is minus the sin nature, death gene. And that's why God, the Holy Spirit, supernaturally supplied the matching chromosomes to, bypassing the male's participation and having perfect DNA, once again, produce a human being coming into the world without a sin nature, and then, therefore, not part of the curse and judgment by God in that respect. Hence, Christ was born into the world through this supernatural birth, spiritually alive, righteousness accredited to him, and it was his test in his humanity to maintain that absolute righteousness to become the sacrifice for sin-bearing for the rest of mankind. So he did not possess a sin nature through virtue of the virgin birth. So 67, the virgin birth was necessary so that Jesus would not be born, quote, in Adam, end quote. So there's a reason behind all this. God's just not trying to be cute. 68 is referred to as the second, quote, Adam, end quote, indicating his state of righteous innocence, just as the first Adam was originally created minus the SCA. 1 Corinthians 15:45. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam, that's Christ, became a life-giving spirit. So you have two men that are introduced into the human race. One was created, if you will, by God, perfectly righteous. He had an opportunity to sustain that. He failed. God introduced a second male into the human race, Jesus Christ, through the supernatural virgin birth, also righteous. He was successful. And he undid everything the first Adam got us into in the beginning. So 69, the soul is delivered from the curse, a spiritual death, and its counterpart then the second death, that's eternal death. When a person is saved, how are you able to cancel out the eternal repercussions of eternal death, eternal condemnation, going to hell, lake of fire, all these things? It's through saving faith. The object of faith is the person of Jesus Christ. You believe that he indeed is God in the flesh. He died for your sins. Evidence being that he received a resurrection body. And you escape the penalty of eternal death. You are regenerated. You are born again. You are given a human spirit. You go from dichotomous in makeup of soul and body to trichotomous soul, body, human spirit. All theological terms to describe the very essence and results of saving faith. That's the good news. That's the euangelion, the gospel, the phase one gospel. That's all you got to do to escape eternal perdition, eternal condemnation, is believe in Jesus Christ. The most, obviously, important decision anyone can ever make. So the soul, which is eternal and created in the image of God, lives forever. And the destiny for those who do not overturn the consequences of eternal death through faith in Christ is that it will exist eternally in the lake of fire. So 70, the body is delivered from death itself and decay and the resurrection of the death when soul and body are reunited. As God will take our existing atoms from however they may be, either in a state of dust in the world from previous death, or as they may even be for those remaining alive, existing now, will transform them in the twinkling of an eye into a new body made with his hands that is will live forever. And the soul, obviously, that was separated in previous deaths, is reunited with that body for those of us that might still be on this planet when that occurs. Our soul's not going anywhere. It's just bingo, wham, bam. Hey, what's happening as you're floating up to the clouds? So 71, the forbidden fruit produced a new dynamic within man's genetics, resulting in an aging gene and a sin nature gene. Just shows you in regards to the kind of properties that the food supplies and other aspects that God has provided for mankind actually contain in regards to powerful effects. And here, obviously, one that has a negative effect. Tree of Life, obviously, is a positive effect. I've always held in contention that there is probably a remedy, a prescription, naturally found in any type of fruit or herb or whatever for any disease or sickness that may ail man, if you can just find that particular one you need. See. In fact, if you will dig in a little bit at all in regards to modern medicine and pharmaceutical industry, you'll find that natural ingredients are generally always a part of their prescription. But they want to add all their sophisticated medical expertise to it so they can charge you out the kazoo for the remedy. And they will fight you tooth and nail when you decide you want to go natural to try to address your problem. Often, not everybody. But that seems to dominate the medical scene otherwise. It's all about money, people. It's not about healing you. It's about money. Don't ever let it go to your head, no matter how powerful it may seem otherwise in regards to certain professions. It's about the money. Number 73, the SCA effects are demonstrated in the behavior of the man and the woman in shame, fear, hiding, and rationalization of their role in the event, as I brought out earlier. 74, Adam can produce nothing better than himself, so he passes this on to his progeny. 75, again, the direct divine punishment upon the two was to render them spiritually dead by withdrawing the human spirit, changing them from trichotomous to dichotomous. 76, the long-term punishment upon their bodies is illustrated now in verses 16 through 19. 77, grace intervened to reverse these negatives. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light and see things in Jesus' name. Amen.